Dale Carnegie? He is not. But it's the news, according to me. Oh, good. Good morning. It is, Thursday. I know that. It's 8:39 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. July 17th, 2025. I am not where I'm supposed to be. If you've been listening to the show, you would know that I'm supposed to be in Birmingham, Alabama. This ain't Birmingham, Alabama, where I am right now. I am in Albany, New York. It's a long ways from Birmingham, Alabama, culturally, and it's not as far as it could be. There could be other places, I guess, that are further from Birmingham. Very different place. It's just about as hot, I think. It's hot out. It's just miserable. In fact, I don't even think my weather app will even tell me I've tried to look at the temperature thing this morning, and it just wouldn't even tell me. I was going to go out and go for a jog, and I was like, well, weather app isn't even telling me what the temperature is outside. It's probably too embarrassed by it. It's supposed to tell you local weather. It's not even telling me about weather back home now. It's not telling me weather anywhere. It's just, I don't know what the deal is here going on with this. It's probably just the cell service here is just not that great. I'm kind of in, let's just say I'm not very far from the airport, actually, here in this hotel. Tonight, it looks like I'm going to end up, I have no idea. Rather than being in Tulsa tonight, I'm going to be, for tomorrow morning, I'm going to be in Chicago. At least that's the way it looks right now. I don't think that I'm going to be, don't think I'm going to be in Tulsa. I don't believe. Just things can change. Weather can change things. That's what ended up happening yesterday. Chicago got really just all messed up. And here I am in Albany. I was supposed to have a pretty short day, actually. I was supposed to just go back to Chicago today and be done. But it looks like I might have some other things to do. And I'm probably going to end up in Chicago at the end of the day. But it's just like, that's why I'm not too sure exactly where I'm going to end up before the day is over. And even if I, what do I do? It doesn't matter what it is. So onward and upward. A couple things I want to talk about. My shows on the, on the travel plan are typically limited to about 30 minutes. I try to keep them down to about 30 minutes. And I'm trying to keep it fairly quiet here in the room just because these walls don't seem to be too thick. And I hate to bother other people with my ranting and raving. Some of them may not agree with my ranting and raving, and that's okay. It doesn't matter to me too much, but it just, at the same time, I don't want to, I want to be able to win friends and influence people. Dale Carnegie wrote a book called Winning Friends and Influencing People, and right now, Donald Trump is not really, maybe he hasn't read that book. There are some things that Trump is doing right now that I think are, I think he's underestimating political clout. I know he doesn't really care right now about, he's won the election. He's going to do his thing. He's going to do whatever. You got to understand, his loyalty is very important to him, but it's also very important to the people who are loyal to him. And I think that at his age, I would think he would know this. And this is kind of one of those things that, his base isn't turning on him, but his base is not you can be upset with your dad and still love your dad. He's not our daddy. However, I'm just saying relationally, you can be upset with your child and still love your child. And it's a family argument that we're having. We're still on board with the same things for the most part. I think 90% of what Trump is trying to get accomplished is his base is behind it. Now, there are some radical fringe folks that are going to be all upset about some things to the point where they're going to write him off. Mark Dice is even showing Mark Dice always puts the meme on his thumbnails for his videos. He will put the old, the fly on the face thing. And I don't know if you remember when Mike Pence was run. I think it was during the debate. It was during a debate. Fly landed on his face, and it just kind of made him out. He'll put the clown nose and the fly on the face now, on anybody that's kind of being a doofus. And he's doing it to Trump. He's putting his picture on there, and I think that Alex Jones, of course, Alex Jones takes everything over the top. He just goes beyond the pale with everything he does. But he actually did spell it out, I think, in a clear way. And MAGA is a label that's been attached. Now, he didn't say this, but I'm saying this. The MAGA thing, I think, has been attached to people who were already. It's not just about Trump. It's about the agenda. It's about the fact that he's non-establishment. He's a maverick. He's pushing back against the stuff. He's got a concept of the American traditional view of what America is, who America, what America is about, the individual liberties that we have, the whole traditional thing of the constructionists. He's kind of more in line with that way of thinking, the free market, open market kind of thing. And I think that's important, to really, that's what he's in tune with. I think that people love that more than they do love him. They do love him for doing that, but it's one of those things where I don't think people are just, it's not a part of a MAGA cult. And I think people, that the left thinks that this is just a cult, it's a cult of personality. In fact, that's what Bernie Sanders has called it. Bernie Sanders would have no problem with that. In fact, there was a cult of personality about Bernie. There was a lot of people on the left were like Bernie supporters. There was a Bernie cult, and he didn't call it that, of course. He thought of everybody. He wouldn't dare call it that, and even though that's what it was about, he loved the adoration. He loved the fact that he was getting popularity. He's got 30,000 people waiting on him. He can't wait in line at United with 30,000 people waiting on him. That's a cult. That's when you're so important that you can't consider yourself a normal human being who travels by normal means, like everybody else travels. All of a sudden, you get to have a private jet because you're so important. That's a cult, folks. That's when you get started to become cultic. Now, if you need the security, there's reason. I have no problem with private aircraft. Trust me on this one. I totally understand private aircraft. I have been a corporate pilot. I've been a commercial pilot. I've been a private pilot. I've flown myself in my own airplane. I've flown other people's airplanes for them. I've flown rented airplanes. I have flown charter aircraft, on-demand charter aircraft. I have flown commercial aircraft. I fully understand the value, the time saving, the safety of flying in an aircraft. It is a tool. That's all it is. For some people, it is a status symbol. But believe me, it is. If it's properly used, I've heard this pastor one time. He got up and he was talking about this whole thing, and he said he flew in his little. He travels quite a bit. He's a very popular pastor. He's not a television. He does have a YouTube channel. He doesn't get broadcast on any televisions or anything. The guy is just he's a genuine guy. He's not one of those over the top. He's just a very real person. I have a lot of respect for the guy. He grew up as a missionary kid. Happens to speak Hausa. And he was talking this one time. He was at a conference and he was speaking. He was kind of one of the main speakers. And he was talking about how, he flew in his private, private jet, at a private jet. He flew from here to there and from here to all these different places. Now, his family became somewhat wealthy at one point. And so you think, well, it's very possible he might have a jet. So he was talking about where he was flying around the world. In this airplane. Then he happened to mention at the end, and by the way, I share my airplane with about 280 other people. We're all private in our own little private seats. He flew commercially. And then he asked, how did you feel about that when you knew that I was flying around in a private jet? Does that change anything about the way you feel about me? to me, it made nothing. It was nothing to me to hear that. I didn't have. I think some other people might have thought that that was kind of. There are people who are put off by that, and it had no effect on me whatsoever. I thought, well, you know, you're properly using the tool, and it's getting you from point A to point B. I have no problem with that. Now, Bernie Sanders, of course, he's one who touts the idea of the common man and the social, you know, no one having anything more than anybody else, and everybody equal outcomes and equity and all that stuff, and then runs around in a private aircraft. You know, when he was talking about millionaires and billionaires, that was before he was a millionaire, by the way. Now all of a sudden he becomes a millionaire by selling his book on the capitalist system. And all of a sudden, it's just about billionaires now. We're going to tax billionaires, not millionaires, billionaires. Now, when he becomes a billionaire, I'm not sure how that's going to work out. And he's not that far from it, folks. He has at least three properties that I know of that are probably worth over $1 million. He has a property in upstate New York. He calls it a summer camp. It's a summer camp is what he calls it. Oh, there's thousands of people in New York have a summer camp, upstate New summer camp. Yeah, and the people, by the way, the people upstate New York can't stand you. Other than the people who are making money off of your time that you spend there. I lived in a little community when I was a kid, an older kid, adolescent. The population went from about 12,000 to about 50,000 in the summertime. That's probably an over-exaggeration. I actually probably went from 6,000 to 26,000, something like that, in the summertime, especially on the weekends, depending on what weekend it was. And the people who came into town during that time, in the summertime, we couldn't stand them. Now, my family had a business that we made money from those people. We'd come into town, spend their money, and we made money on that. But we catered to the locals. We knew who the locals were. We took care of them first. It's just the way it was. It just, you know, they got the full attention because we depended on each other throughout the year. Those people not only helped us, we helped them. They had businesses. We had business. You know, we did business with their business, and it was important that we maintained a cohesive establishment there. The folks that came from out of town, I'm sorry, you got to stand in line. It's just the way the economics worked. We had to take care of the people who took care of us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a business. That's just the way it works. It's just there's a pecking order that has to happen. You get outside of that, and because there are those who are loyal to you, and you just take care of them. So that's what ended up happening. But anyway, where am I going with all this? Where I'm going is I'm going directly to a story about my cup. I have a that's pretty good. Yeah, so what I have here is a cup of chai with just generic creamer in it. I don't know what it is. It's just something I had here. They didn't have much of a breakfast here. No protein other than milk. No protein, all carbs, nothing. It's free, but there's nothing else. And there's nothing around. There's nothing within it, you know. I could walk 20 minutes probably to some place to get something. Most things are about 3 miles away from this hotel. This is a terrible place to be. Anyway, the hotel itself is nice, but it's just everything else. There's just nothing around. In my backup cup, I have what's left of what I brought with me. It's sweet tea, sweet peach tea. However, I would say it's beyond a slushy. It is, unfortunately, my refrigerator last night was a little bit too cold, and it is, it's not frozen rock solid. If I could just pop it in the microwave for 10 seconds, it would probably fix the problem. The problem is the microwave here is a little bit too small, and the cup won't even fit in there. So that issue is going on. I don't even know where I started with this whole story. I went down about seven different rabbit trails. I got on one bunny trail that had another bunny trail that was another. There's another bunny trail connected to that bunny trail, and I went down that bunny. I have not seen a bunny trail this morning that I didn't like. Carnegie, winning friends, influencing people. Donald Trump is going down this trap. I think it's of all the things for him to drive people a wedge between him and his supporters on. This whole Epstein thing. And now we can walk and chew gum at the same time. He thinks that we're just supposed to be focused on all the successful things and all the tragedy and the successful things and things that are happening in the nation right now and the things. No, this is, yeah, okay, we can focus on those things. We can give you kudos for all the things you're doing right. We also want some transparency in the things that have happened. Now, to me, there's something weird going on here. When Trump was asked about it recently, he goes on a word salad, launches into a, I would call it a Kevin episode of just talking about all kinds of other things. Well, you know how he does. Well, I can't do an impersonation. I can't do a proper impersonation of Donald Trump. He starts talking about the economy and how good it is. And then he goes, oh, by the way, there's someone recently just said I might be one of the greatest presidents ever. And then he goes on to say, and then our economy is the hottest it's ever been. And this is the golden age and blah, blah, blah. The whole circle of things around his, about the things that are happening that are good. Let me just say, that's all well and good. That's all great. Good for you. You can talk about those things all day long if you want to. That's fine. But we're still interested in something else, and that is transparency in government, understanding what's going on with this whole Comey thing. This whole Epstein thing. Now, Comey, James Comey, by the way, his daughter, now, a lot of people don't realize this. His daughter has been involved in some very high-profile cases over the past number of years. She was the chief prosecutor in the Diddy thing. I think that actually fell apart. Diddy got charged with anything, with much of anything. He's either walking free or going to walk free. I haven't been keeping track of that because I really don't care about that. That's one of those things that it's different than Epstein. It's on a smaller scale. Epstein was involved in some other things. Now, there are people who are very confused about this whole Epstein thing. Epstein was actually arrested under Bill Barr as the DOJ, head of the FBI, as the Attorney General. There you go, Attorney General, not the head of the FBI. I think Bill Barr actually did do something with the FBI for a while, but he was the Attorney General latter part of Trump's presidency, and I think it was 2019, I believe. I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not a historical mousetrap here. I know that Bill Barr, I believe, was the AG when Jeffrey Epstein was arrested. He was put in prison, and before trial, he supposedly killed himself. And supposedly seeing the video of the area where he was, supposedly that's supposed to convince us that he killed himself. We don't have any video of anybody going in or out of that room ever, and then we don't see him being taken out or anybody going in. It was just that little bit of video that we see that's like before midnight and after midnight. But we were told for a long time there wasn't any video. So now here's the thing. Democrats now are think that they're getting some traction here with this rift that's happening with the base on the Republican side, and they're pushing. I think she should release the files. Why isn't he doing that? You guys should be upset with him. You should be mad. You should come over to the Democrat side now. That's going to happen. But they keep doing this now. They keep pushing this now. They want to drum up, all they want to drum up is division. The Democrats are the party of absolute division, insanity. And this is, they have a hard time keeping their own party together because of this. They're so divided right now. And you got the traditionalists, and you got the socialists, and you got the, and then you got the long-term, I would say old school Democrats. There are a lot more fractions or factions within the Democrat Party than they even recognize themselves. I think that if you start looking into it, and even among some of the factions, there are factions. It is a multi-factioned fractured society. So this is what we have going on right now. We have the Democrats are pushing for this whole thing, trying to push the MAGA crowd, I should say, into this idea of them. We should be upset. We should be upset about this Jeffrey Epstein thing. And one of the reasons that some people are speculating that Trump is trying to be so protective is because they believe he possibly has, his name is in the file. He's named in the files. Now, he is squirming a lot on this. And I think that there might be something to the fact that he's nervous or concerned that his name does appear in the files. Yeah, everybody knows he traveled on Jeffrey Epstein's plane probably about seven times. He never went to Epstein's island. In fact, most of the time that he was on, I don't think he was ever on Epstein's plane when Epstein was on the plane himself. And it was nothing but, I think he was on the plane with Alanya every time, and I don't think there was anybody else. Maybe there was somebody on the plane one time with him that he's concerned about, or maybe there was a friend of his that was on the plane that went to the island. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. I do know that having been a corporate pilot, I flew corporate jets. People who own and companies who own corporate jets sometimes will share their aircraft with other companies. Now they because they're doing business with them, so they will do different things. They'll say, "Hey, why don't you guys take we'll take your people over here because they have business with each other or whatever they're going to have." And we flew other people's other businesses people around or other individuals around. Now, Part 91 aircraft, of course, that means personally owned aircraft. Well, I flew for a company one time that the family owned the aircraft and we would fly the family around. The family also leased the airplane to a charter company, and the charter company managed the aircraft and flew the aircraft for them personally. So we flew charter and private flying all the time with that aircraft. Kept it pretty busy, and actually it was detrimental to the charter business because whenever the family was using it, we couldn't use it for charter, so we couldn't make any money with it when they were using it. So what ended up happening was the family would sometimes would sometimes loan it to their friends. They would use their credits or their points or whatever you want to call it, and they would send their people somewhere, or they would have friends that they would want to send somewhere. It wasn't always the family or anyone directly that was on the airplane. It might have been somebody, some relative or something else like that that was being flown. And sometimes it was just a dog. We'd take our dog or a cat. We'd take somewhere. So and it happened occasionally. This happens all the time in the corporate world. Even though Trump had his own airplane, it might be down for maintenance or whatever it is. And Jeffrey Epstein would say, why don't you guys just take this airplane and do it? Because he was trying to weasel his way into the in crowd. So this is what would happen. Now, I don't know. Trump is squirming on this. This is a squirm. And I'm going to call it for what I see. I don't see him. There's something uncomfortable here with him. I don't think it's a. I don't know. It would take a lot for him to get uncomfortable. He realizes how powerful his connection is with his base. Now he's dissing his base over this. My past supporters. In fact, tomorrow I'm hoping to have a little bit more information about this because tomorrow I want to actually do a show that I think will spell out a little bit better some of the things that he said here in the past few days. Now, last night I heard a report from. Next News Network, which is Gary Frenchie. I don't listen to him too much anymore. He does a 5-minute news broadcast with 15 minutes of advertising and hype and everything else. I get really tired of all the other. I don't listen to him as much as I used to. He apparently had a little blurb last night. I noticed in one of the headlines. Most of his headlines are fairly clickbait, but he. Supposedly, there's been some breakthrough with Trump on this whole thing, and they're going to be some release of some documents. I don't know what they're going to do. Hopefully, it doesn't turn out to be another binders with the Epstein files thing on the side of it and all this stuff. And there's some kind of Trump is calling it a hoax that Comey and all these other people made up. Now, the you have to understand, the DOJ under Merrick Garland and Comey and everybody else that was involved in everything during the Biden administration, had there been any dirt on Trump during that time, they would have pulled it out. Everybody knows this. This is the thing that people don't think about. Well, Trump must be in the Epstein files. If he was, then I guarantee you they would have used some of that to keep him out of office, to keep him from even running in 2024. So it makes no sense that there is anything in there that would be damaging to him now, because they had full access to that. Director of the FBI, the Christopher Wray, all these people had all this stuff, and they didn't do anything with it. Comey and everybody else. So it just seems a little bit weird, strange, and unusual that that would have anything to do with it. So in the meantime, that's what's happening there. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is this. All of a sudden, this Zohran Mamdani, the proposed future mayor of New York, who was a proud socialist. Every time he got introduced, he was introduced as a proud socialist. He was always, in all the talks he ever gave, he said, we have to be unapologetic about our socialism and the end goal of seizing the means of production and all this. He's communist. He's a total communist. And that's what seizing the means of production is the key word there. That is supposedly the definition of communism. It goes beyond that. But he would say these kinds of things. And of course, he was entering the race and ran on that very platform and was very open and vocal about it. And of course, here he is, the presumptive candidate for the New York mayor, and probably going to be the winner because he's a Democrat. Well, apparently, the Democrats all got together and had a little meeting with him. And when I play this video, I'm going to play it tomorrow. The audio part of it, of course, and this guy comes back and he's a spokesperson. We had this meeting with Zohran and we came back and this guy's a capitalist. Hey, he's a capitalist. He loves capitalism. He has denounced capitalism every chance he has gotten. Every chance. I believe it was somebody was listening to this morning. I think it was either Sky News Australia, or else it was Vince Deo. It might have been DeVore, actually. It might have been DeVore's Arkans. I was listening to this morning, who had these clips of him, things that he had said just recently, and then things, that, of course, that they're saying now. He's coming out and repainting himself as some kind of I'm pro everything. I'm pro, you know. So apparently, the Democrats have said, hey, you can't be so blatantly open about this stuff. You have to kind of be covert about it. Pretend to do this and pretend to do that. They've had this big talk with him now, and they've come out of this meeting with this whole different revelation of who this man is, and he's now seen the light, and he's going to be this traditional little obedient Democrat Party guy. In other words, what they're saying is, we're going to make sure that the party doesn't support you, give you any kind of funds or money, unless you play by our rules, and our rules are you can't be this radical kind of thing. You got to straighten up, play the game right. We'll get you into office. Once you get into office, then you can do whatever you want. You can do all these things behind. This is the way Obama operated. This is the Obama. This is actually the Chicago way of doing politics. You claim to be one thing. You run on one thing, and then you do what you do under the table, and what you do everywhere else is you gut the system and you do everything else. And all the while pretending to be this person of principle and equality and listening to everybody else and inclusiveness and listening to both sides. This is what Gavin Newsom, this is the game. In fact, if you want to see it in full color, look at Gavin Newsom right now. Kamala Harris tried to placate this idea by I think the statement that sums it up the best is, well, it's a conversation we need to have. This, it's this idea that she's open and willing to talk about it, But she's already set in her mind what it's going to be. But it sounds like she's open to discussion, open to debate. She's not. She's only open until the election happens, and then they lock down on everything. This is the same way they're trying to teach this guy. He's got to get a ramp into it. You have to ramp into it. You can't just be blunt about it. This is how it works. There's all this people out there thinking you're not going to get any funding if we don't do this. That's what's happening. So they're threatening him with funding. Folks, God bless. Hope you have a great rest of your day. My time is up, and I have to get moving. And I will talk to you tomorrow from Chicago, I believe. So, have a great rest of your day. Take care. Thanks for listening. By the way, you can share your thoughts. 812-379-8778. Call or text the show. Thanks.